Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift and I love. I'm so glad you came in. Lord, I live and I love. I'm so glad you came in. Somebody tell him you came.
Came from heaven to earth.
yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain they did cover his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy. That is to say, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. The Bible says, and the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled, amen, with smoke. Then Isaiah said, Woe is me, I'm undone, because of a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, and have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then they said, Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Not who will go for me, but who will go for us? In verse 8, he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? And then said, Here I am. Send me. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Let us put our hands, clap hands together, give God a hand clap of praise in this place. For truly he is worthy. Amen. And let me tell y'all, man, I tossed and turned and tossed and turned and tossed and turned. And the choir, if the choir wants to, they can come out. The men want to stay. It's up to y'all. But if y'all want to stay as a group, y'all can stay up here. Amen. Thank God for our choir. Amen. Thank God for Mother Ophelia. 80 years young. She missed a couple weeks in there, but God has, I'm telling you, they've said, but she don't know if she can come. Man, look at God. Man, and I'm looking at Miss Dot sitting behind her. God is good, ain't he? That's why y'all is so, if they want, they can stay right there if they want. I'm not going to be before you long. I pray not to be up here long. Amen. But, amen, I was just all over the place. Went to bed, got back up, went to bed, got back up, went to bed, got back up. And that's the toil of this word. But all we can do is say what he says say. Bible says, he who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He's speaking. Amen. And it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. I'm not talking about in the gracious hands, but there's a wrath, amen, that's a cloud over those who don't know Jesus Christ. And I just think, man, there's an urgency to preach with conviction. There's an urgency to preach the gospel message. Because guess what, y'all? We can go all the way around the cross. And I think that's what I was trying to do, maybe. You know? But the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. And those of you that have your Bibles, please turn your attention to Philippians. Amen. Philippians 1. Amen. Beginning at the first verse, and then we will turn back to Romans chapter 7 after we read these first couple of verses. Amen. We're not going to try to preach this whole thing. Amen. But Philippians 3:1 says, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you for me indeed is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the conscience. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, as a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency, that means the surpassing knowledge, amen, the surpassing knowledge, the surpassing love affair, the surpassing intimacy and validation and affirmation where he wraps us, he loves on us, amen. I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Amen. And if we have to explain what dung is, if you've been on the line, you know what dung is. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which have apprehended, that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Beginning at the 22nd verse. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? But I thank God through, somebody say through. Say it again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Amen. I think that was the struggle, just these both of these texts, and if I could give a focal verse, it would be that Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, to be made conformable unto his death. Title of this message is going to be that I may know him. The subtitle is going to be the personal progression of co-crucifixion. The personal progression of co-crucifixion. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you to know that you alone are God, and beside you there is none other. God, we come recognizing and realizing that we are hopelessly lost without you. We are helpless, oh God, without you. I'm lost and helpless without you. And God, and I come just relying upon you to let you know that I need you. I'm desperate, oh God, for you. To know that as the deer panteth after the water brook, so does our souls repent after you. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you lock all windows and doors. Oh, God, that you bind and rebuke the enemy, the hand of the devil, oh, God, that's an attack on a raid against the knowledge of who you are. God, that you would just further break my heart, oh, God, to what you have to say. God, you're speaking in this desperate time. Oh, God, and it's the church. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. Oh, God, that we must, Lord, be a just a light, a beacon of light. We must be a manifestation of your hands and of your love and of your feet to a dying world, that this world will see you. And that can only happen by way of the cross. The cross is not just a one-time act, but the cross, oh God, is a personal progression that we must pick up every single day. So we pray, oh God, that you examine us, oh God, that you break our hearts to what you have to say on today. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for it, we pray. Let everybody say amen, amen, and amen. Amen, that I may win Christ, the personal progression, amen, of co-crucifixion. The personal progression of co-crucifixion. Amen. And we just thank God, man. We thank God for this text. Thank God for this passage. Amen. Thank God, man. Look, thank God for Philippians. Thank God for Brother Willie coming down. I'm telling you, I thank God for just the sincerity and the honesty of that brother. And I couldn't put it more better. Anybody couldn't have put it more better than the joy, the excitement that we have for the word of God. And we thank God, man, for this text and for this passage of Philippians, man. Thank God for the preachers, Minister Tober. Thank God for Evangelist Claudia. Thank God for the people that join in and comment on the line every single morning. Amen. And I'm telling you, thank God for Reverend Williams. I had part of this passage, but he had part of it on Thursday. Amen. I'm telling you, it's been a blessing. And one thing we find here is that Paul says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. And isn't it something that Paul was in jail writing this? He was in prison, chained to a Roman soldier. But the theme of this book is joy and rejoice. Amen? And that's why he could say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad this morning that we have something that the world doesn't know about. We have something, y'all. We have this treasure, amen, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. We have joy, amen, that we don't have to go look for it in a substance. We don't have to go look for it in a bottle. We don't have to go look for it in pill form. We don't have to go look for it in smoke form. We don't have to go look. I said something about OE yesterday. OE ain't just furniture polish. Amen. But OE, amen. I was in high school, man. And I used to ride the bus with people getting up drinking OE in high school. And they weren't small. They called something called a 40, right? Oh, yeah. Somebody act like they don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But thank God, amen. Our joy is not predicated upon what happens externally, but our joy is predicated upon the fact that Jesus Christ, he got up from the grave. He said, with all power in his hands, he said, it's expedient for me to go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come, when the Comforter comes, he'll be with you, in you, and upon you. Amen. He'll take you through. He'll put clapping in your hands and running in your feet. Even when things look desperate on the inside, you'll still have the joy of the Holy Ghost that's working on the inside. Amen. You got to know that you know that you know that you have this joy. I'm telling y'all. Even when you do get down, you can't stay down. Amen. His word, the word of God is like the weighted air balloon. Amen. You hit it, the thing goes down and it pops back up. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's real joy. You can't get joy from this world. Amen. Happiness is temporal. Happiness is fading. But joy. Paul had real joy. Even being in prison. Amen. And he says it over again. He says, to write the same things for you is indeed not grievous. Amen. And I got to get where Paul is. That we don't even care. Man, we have to preach the same thing over and over and over again. My grandfather preached John 3:16. I'm telling you, like once a month, didn't he, Deacon Wright? Amen. Over and over again, he preached a message called Work While It's Day. Amen. Because nighttime cometh. And when nighttime cometh, no man can work. He would preach that like once a quarter. Then he would preach, why halt ye if Reggie Wright was here, Reverend Reginald Wright was here, he could go back down that road. Amen. But he would preach another sermon called Choose Ye This Day. Whom, if you're straddling a fence, you better get off. If you're shucking and jiving, you better stop it. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Why halt ye between two opinions? Amen. Serve man or serve the devil or serve God. But Paul says here, he says, to write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you is safe. And so not only is Paul encouraging them to rejoice, but Paul is encouraging them and warning them to beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the conscience, the mutilators. Amen. Beware of those people that try to get you to add to your salvation, thinking you need this or thinking you need that. And guess what? And I can sit and look at this and be like, oh, okay, we just got to beware. But man, to see the seriousness of where the devil wanted the new converts, of where the devil wanted these new believers. He said, listen, I can't stop them from getting saved, but I can join them and stifle their light, stifle their witness, stifle their walk, stifle the manifestation of the power of God from working in them. Not only will I stifle that, but guess what? They themselves will be bound. They will be bound. Amen. Although they're saved, they'll be bound. They'll be saved, but they'll be carnal. They'll be saved, but there will be no power. No power for deliverance. No power to stop gossiping. No power to forgive somebody. No power, amen, to overcome addiction. No power to overcome fear. No power to overcome phobias. No power to overcome homosexuality. No power to overcome the spirit of shacking. Amen, and fornication. No power. And so he said, if I can join them and mix religion and mix the law, amen, guess what? I'll do my job because a little bit of leaven is. Leaveneth the whole lump. And y'all, guess what? That's what's going on today. That's what's going on in the church. Amen. We want to mix the things we've been delivered from and the things we've been out of. Right? And we want to mix them in religion. Right? We want to mix it. We want a big old melting pot of carnality and church. Everybody know how to shout. Man, and they're paying the clips. Right? Oh, when you go on the internet and Facebook and YouTube and all this, and everybody be like this. The whole church. Right? Man, the whole church. everybody's shouting, right? And I'm like, right? And I'm not saying this. Listen, I'm not saying ain't nothing wrong with shouting. I shout. I might not shout like I was just shouting right there, but mine might be more of a jump. Amen? But guess what? My greatest times of shouting comes when God has exposed me, when God has shown me, when God has delivered me, when God has corrected me. Amen? And there was one shout where these two guys were in the middle of the aisle. Amen? And they had a routine. They started shouting. They started shouting together. They did it together. And everybody's shouting. Amen. But are we being delivered? And somebody said to me one time, they said to my wife, they said, man, your church, man, thank God for your church. And I'm not putting Community Baptist Church on a pedestal. Thank God, man, y'all got the word. But y'all don't shout enough for me. Amen. Amen. Y'all don't shout enough for me. And I'm telling y'all, listen, man, the devil wants us in a religious mess. He wants us in a religious stupor. He wants us sweating, coming in here, shouting, having a good time, go right out them doors just as bound, just as handcuffed, just as fetters on our feet as the day is long. Listen, he wants us going back on our jobs, right? And people can't even see Jesus Christ in us. And we got to ask the question. Somebody said, are you even saved? I see you shouting. I see you preaching. I see you deaconing. I see you playing. I see you ushering. I see you doing all these things. Amen. But when you get outside these four walls, we can't tell you from Adam Housecat. You've got to know that there's been a change on the inside. That the things that I used to do, I don't do no more. That the places I used to go, I don't do go no more. That the thoughts I used to think, even when they come, boop, I can crucify them out of my mind. There's been a change in my life. Somebody must see Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time out. Man, guess what? The older I get, man, I hear, man, and my man talking to older ones, and boy, and you know, the older folk in the church can't look down their nose too bad because I'm hearing some stuff what happened back in the day. And I'm like, he was in the church every week. Every week. What? Amen. So guess what? It's time out for tradition. And religion don't cut it. Tradition don't cut it. Well, that's the way my father did it. That's the way my mother did it. Grandma Luli, man, that's the way she did it. But no, what does the word of God say? Listen. Guess what? Man, if we can't preach the gospel in this church, that there's impact and conviction that somebody's willing to go back and make a change outside of these four walls, something is wrong. I don't need to be the pastor. Amen. I need to get somewhere and sit down. There must be a change. There must be conviction. There must be exposure. Amen. There must be. There must be a difference in my life. The Bible says, him that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Are we part of the let? Are we a part of the restraining power that's keeping back all the demonic stuff that's about to be poured over this world? And when you see this movie, this previews of this movie called The Exorcist, these little girls, and the priests are the priests. Amen. That's, man, look. 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 Man, that preacher better be living something. Amen. And he's giving communion, and that girl, little demonically possessed girl, is walking up talking about the body and the blood. Possessed. And my thing is, who could even think and come up with this stuff? Amen. You know why? Because the writers in Hollywood, And these actors, hey man, guess what? They're demonically charged, superimposed by the spirit of the Antichrist. You know why? Because they want to prepare our minds for the end times. Amen. With mediums and the occult and all these things and familiar spirits and wizards and peeps and all these things. Guess what? It's time out to live it and fake it until you make it. Amen. That spirit that was following, amen, that Paul had to rebuke, that was following them. Man, they went to the sons of Sceva and he said, Peter, I know. Paul, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And that demonic spirit jumped on them. And the Bible says they started tearing their clothes. We got to know something. And we got to live something. Amen. And this is, listen, this is the danger. This is the danger of faking it in the church. Being religious and traditional. Thank God I don't have it down pat. And I thank God for that. Because guess what? We grew up in the church. Reverend Williams says it all the time. We can do the church in our sleep. We can do the church in our sleep. Well, my mother was a missionary. My father was a deacon. My brother was the over the choir. You know what I'm saying? And we can fake it till we make it. And stand before God and bust hell wide open. Amen. And you can say, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I worked on the food pantry in your name. I worked on the board in your name. I worked in the choir in your name. I celebrated with the deacons in your name. And then for Jesus to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable to his very death. Guess what? And I used to hear Minister James Aldridge say, it's time out. Stop playing cat and mouse with our lives. That's what we're doing in the church when we're not delivered. I'm telling you. And we just want to shout on the surface. Pastor Wright, listen, Pastor Wright, you said you can't shout on top of your mess. Amen. 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 So Paul lets them know to beware of these dogs. Beware of this religious spirit. Beware of the conscience. Beware of the mutilators. There was a demonic attack on the new converts in the church to join the Christian in spirit of religion and in the spirit of keeping the law and in the spirit of doing good. Amen? And this is where the enemy wants us today. The spirit of religion. And guess what? Listen, y'all. Listen. He wants to render the church powerless. He does. He wants to render the church inept. Amen. Amen. That's what he wants to do. Amen. And then he says in verse 3 of our text, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. And guess what? Paul saw this spirit, this religious spirit, the spirit of tradition. He saw it from a mile away. He saw it from a mile away. Y'all know why? Because this was him. He was Saul of Tarshish. This is where he used to live. Amen. Amen. This was him. Amen. So that's why when he saw it coming, listen, and guess what? He had a fondness for those in the Philippi. He had a fondness for Lydia and Timothy and Epaphras. He had a fondness for these believers and how they started and how this church was founded. And that's why them two sisters that was on the kitchen committee that was arguing and bickering back and forth. Amen. He said, let this mind be like-minded. Love one another. And guess what? The temperature sign, the sign of a true church, that's striving, that's being crucified daily, is togetherness in the body. There ought be no dysfunction, no division, no unity. Amen. And we got a nerve to sit next to somebody. Oh, well, I'm sitting over here. I can't stand them people. You can't stand somebody. You got a nerve to not speak to somebody in your own family for years. Man, and I thank God for a brother the other day. Man, he was almost like he couldn't wait to tell me his testimony. He's like, man, there was a family, man, a certain family, I ain't going to say who it was. He said, man, that they came and they started speaking to me, and I just had to let it go, and I had to speak to them, and we forgave one another. We forgave one another. Hey, amen. I'm standing there, and he's telling me this, and I'm like, well, praise Jesus. And he said, this went on for years that we didn't speak to one another. Amen. And people go through things, whether it's sister and a brother, whether it's a mother or a father and their children. And next thing you know, man, they have grandchildren that they have not even seen because of the all and the isms and the schisms. And guess what? We go to church all our lives faking it. And guess what? It don't matter who started it. It don't matter who started it. Guess what? Christ died for us while we were enemies. We were at odds with him. We offended him. Amen. But the Bible says God was in Christ Jesus. Reconciling. Somebody shout reconciling. Reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses. He forgave us. He said, Father, forgive them. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus, help me, God. Hey, amen. Listen, that's the most freeing, liberating thing that I went through one time. Man, God had me to pick up the phone and apologize to somebody. Woo! Yes, he did. I didn't want to do it, man. I wrestled. Man, I couldn't hear, I couldn't preach, I couldn't do anything. He said, you know why you can't do that, brother? Because there's an ought in your life. Amen. And when there's an ought in our life, guess what? Man, the devil camps out. He's like, okay, I see that ought, right? He's the accuser of the brother. He's going to hang right there. He's going to block the spiritual blessings. He's going to block the voice of God. He's going to block your joy. He's going to block your peace. He's going to block gentleness. He's going to block things from flowing through your life because there's a blockage. There's a blockage in your heart. That'll mean bitter spirit can't say hi. You know why? You can't help yourself. Amen. It's in you because there's something in you that you need deliverance from. Paul said, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of who Jesus is, and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when my obedience is fulfilled. It's not enough to say yes. It's not enough to say you love Jesus, but there ought to be some obedience. There ought to be some action. There ought to be some picking up the phone. There ought to be some forgiveness. There ought to be something in my life that follows a broken heart. We got to know that, amen? Man, ain't nobody digging right. Ain't nobody coming back next week. Ain't nobody coming back next week. It's okay. Because if they put me out, y'all know where I'm going to be. Where I'm going to be. Terrace Courts. Amen. That's where I'm going to be, preaching outside. Then I'll go over to Bloomsdale. Terrace Courts would be my early morning set message. Then I'll preach my 11 o'clock message over at Bloomsdale Gardens. Amen. All by myself. I just love them. I 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 love them. Amen. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me,
I'm not talking about the physical. I'm not talking about the tangible. You can keep that money. You can keep the whole wide world. This is what Paul was chasing. Amen. Paul was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law and Pharisees, concerning the zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law blameless. But what things were gained unto me, I count it loss. I count it loss. I count it loss. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. I'm leaving this old world behind. I press toward the prize of the high call that's in Christ Jesus. I want to know him through his resurrection. I want to know him through the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be made conformable to his very death. When you know that you know that you know, people can walk out on you. Friends can leave you. Others can forsake you. But when you know that you got Christ Jesus on the inside, you can lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is, he's my deliverer, he's my chain breaker, he is my everything. Amen, amen. I went to the meeting last night, and something wasn't right. His word got a hold of me. When you know that you know that you know that you got Christ living on the inside. Amen. Amen. Paul was a Jew of Jews. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Paul was in the know before Christ. Amen. He was the one that you wanted to know. Reverend Williams, man, I usually say if I have a dollar for every time I preach this, but if I had a dollar for every time Reverend Williams preached this, he had pedigree, lineage, education. He had clout. He had zeal. He had prominence. He had position. He was a somebody. But the very things, these are the very things that we look to gain out of this world. Amen. The spirit, what this spirit of influence, this spirit of persuasion was thick. Amen. You could cut it with a knife. This spirit of religion, and anytime you can sit up and look at all these bishops coming together and having a Masonic service where all of them have on rings. Amen. We've got to know the spirit of Gnosticism, the spirit of doing good, the spirit of trying to uphold this law. Man, it's alive and well. Paul says in Galatians 2:21, and y'all know how strong it was? Peter, think about this. Peter, upon this rock, Peter. Jesus, I'll go with you to the end, Peter. Cutting Peter. I said the other day, every man from down south got a pocket knife. Right, Deacon? And a handkerchief. Man, listen, we went fishing, right, with this brother back here. Man, he had everything. He was ready. I mean, me and Marlon, we were just looking at each other like, man, what is this guy? I mean, he was catching all the fish. I said, man, you could do it. He's from down south. He's from Alabama. Amen. You could drop this brother off in the middle of a jungle. I told his son that. You can drop him off in the middle of the jungle, and he will survive. Amen. But I thank God. Amen. That was Peter. And guess what? Peter was the one who spoke up. But guess what? When that spirit came in there, Peter got up and moved. He got up and moved. He was succumbed. And not only him. Amen. But Barnabas, who was like a spiritual giant, he moved. I'm telling y'all. And no matter, and that's what we go to Romans chapter 7, because no matter how much we say, I'm not going to do it. again. I'm not going to watch that internet again. I'm not going to look at them videos again. I'm not going to get upset with my boss and tell him off again. I'm not going to end up drinking one drink, two drinks, three drinks again. I'm not going to end up falling into temptation again. Paul said, listen, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, listen, he said, for the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I end up doing. He said, verse 17, he says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, what? Is present with me. That means the desire. I have the desire to want to kick the habit. I have the desire to want to forgive my sister. I have the desire, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. Verse 20 says, now if I do the thing that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find it in the law that when I would do good, evil. Listen, trying to keep up with this law, trying to do good works, guess what? It's like a Venus flytrap. It's like quicksand. Because the more you try to do it, the more you try to clean yourself up, the more you try, guess what? The faster you sink. That's the desire of, that's the design of the law. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if the righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he's guilty of the whole law. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But the very thing that God redeemed us from, the very thing that he loosed us from, is the very thing that we keep trying to go back. We keep going back. We keep trying. I'm going to do better. I'm going to get right. I'm going to keep the habit. We go back and we pick up the law. You know why we pick up the law again? Because there's no intimacy. There's no love affair. And it's the love affair that we have in the Word of God that will lead me through a resurrected life. It's a love affair. The Bible says, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of God constrains me. It's the love of Christ. Listen, we can't live this Christian life without falling in love. We got to fall in love first. That's the point. We got to fall in love every day. We got to fall in love. Because guess what? We ain't going to do for nobody we don't love. Man, we're going to do it begrudgingly. We're going to serve on the food pantry begrudgingly. Man, it's going to be a heavy load. Amen. But when you're in love, man, I used to be trying to get done. Street ministry. Man, we got to hurry up, get done. It's getting dark. Let's hurry up so these brothers can get home. Man, guess what? What? I had to leave them sometimes. Man, listen, it's like a love affair. Everybody should be, if you ain't living right, then something's wrong. But if you're living right, everybody should be in ministry, some ministry. That the manifest power of God can work through you. And somebody see Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of like, man, me and Jake was talking one time. They said, man, brother, Deacon Norman, he just crazy. He just crazy. Man, and guess what, y'all? We have women out there too. Thank God for the women. Some of them are here. Amen, 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 amen. Some of them are here. They're just crazy about the love of Jesus Christ. Guess what? Mosquitoes be out there biting. Right? Man, it's all right. Man, we pull out the cans off. Man, start spraying. You need some. Spray some by your feet. Amen. Because the devil will give us an excuse. Amen. Well, y'all, it's just too, that grass is too high. What? We got Bible study tomorrow, so if I come out there, huh? It's like we give God an ultimatum. I'm going to either do this or do that. Man, guess what? Be in a word in the morning. Be on noonday prayer with the mothers. Get on the listen, man, you can't get too much of the word. Boy, and it's funny. We can watch 3, 4, 5, 6 hours binge watch TV all day. But, man, we pick up the Bible. Man, I did a study. Man, it's like our eyes get heavy. 5, 10 minutes in, you. But let the news come back on while you're sleeping. Man, you're going to perk right up. You ever notice that? Man, when you open the Bible, you get sleepy. But you can sit and watch. Oh, man, breaking news. You ain't sleepy no more. But you get in the Word. Man, you don't need Tylenol PM. Some of y'all, you just open the Word, you'll fall fast asleep. You got to bind and rebuke that sleepy spirit. Amen. Guess what? Don't give God your tired hours. Give him your good hours. Give him your best hours. Amen. Amen. Y'all, we can't keep this law. We can't keep it. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone. Wait, listen. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Galatians 3:10. Which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that goes for tradition and religion. When we're just doing it out of obligation. Just to check the X off the box. And we're not doing it out of grace relationship. Guess what? Guess what? Man, you're subject to bondage and no deliverance. So even if I can keep 90% of the law, right? But that 10% I can't keep, then I'm guilty of the whole law. Amen? Amen? And man, we're gonna close this out. So back in Philippians, Paul says,
hey, I got another pen right here.
Listen. He says, but those things which were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, waste, refuge. Amen. And you notice, he didn't say, I didn't count them as trash. Because, you know, I can ball this piece of paper up and just put it in the trash. But when you got dung, dog dung, on the bottom of your shoe, that's that, man, listen. You track that, man, you get take them shoes outside. Don't put them in the trash. Take them out back. Y'all know what dung is, right? I don't have to explain what dung is. Amen. Amen. That's what he counted, what he had. And we chase the very thing, even in the church, waiting for the hook. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? What about my season? What about my breakthrough? What about my blessing? What about all that? Guess what? Guess what? When we reject this message of death and co-crucifixion that comes through intimacy, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of this suffering. And it's the fellowship of the suffering that he wraps you. It's the fellowship of his suffering. That he holds you. It's the fellowship of his suffering. That Paul talks about. I pray 3 times that this thing might be removed. Amen. But God wouldn't remove it. And he answered Paul. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. More gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest on me. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely slip away. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The cross is not just something that we fancy. The cross is not something that say, Jesus did it. He went for me. Amen. The nails was in his hands. The sword was in his side. They pierced him. They mocked him. They plucked out his beard. The Bible says the sun refused to shine. His head, he gave up the ghost. And his head was hung in the locks of his shoulder. But guess what, church? He died on that cross. He died on that cross. The Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. But I don't know about you. What is man? Who am I that God would love me, that he would send his only son to die on that cross for my sin? What manner of love, what kind of love is this, that he would lay down his life for an old sinner like me? I want to know him. The cross is not just something that we fancy, that we look at, but the cross must be our living experience every day. Jesus said, they that come after me must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen. Amen. As we stand to our feet, God is good. Amen. I want to know him. And y'all, guess what? Guess what? Man, thank God. Man, it's not about tradition. It's not about religion. I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He suffered the loss of all things. Count them as dung that I may win Christ. Y'all, in Romans 5, when he talks about tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. That hope does not disappoint, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. That's a personal progression of co-crucifixion. We've got to pick up our cross every day. Guess what? Y'all, guess what? Guess what? It's not going to come by you making it happen. It's not going to come by you just saying, man, I'm going to do better. But Paul, listen, when he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable to his rest, I want to know him intimately by any means necessary. Y'all, and there's two things, man, there's two things. I'm not going to have y'all sit back down now. I need 2 minutes. When we talk about the personal progression of co-crucifixion, number one, it's the discipline of the word. Daily discipline of the word. Number two, it's our exposure to the word. When Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Then he says, I thank God. He cries out. I thank God. What does that I thank God come from? The same thing that Philippians 3:10 is through Jesus Christ. It's through getting in the word. It's through praying to him. And when he says, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, he says, with the new man, I serve the law of God. But with the old man, I serve the law of flesh. So we got two natures in us. We got the old dog and the new dog. It's a dog fight in us. Seriously, it's a dog fight between the two natures. And guess which one is going to win? The one you feed. That's the one. Y'all, listen. And I'm telling you, listen, as we meditate in the word, we get lost. More than just Bible study. More than just hearing what the preacher preached. More than just praying through Philippians. You've got to get in it personally. Amen. You've got to get in it personally. Every day. And sometimes even when I don't feel like it. Man, I'm telling y'all, listen. Last night, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't know what I was going to preach. But God said, I don't care about your feelings. You just stay in my word. Man, and after you stay in the word long enough, man, after you let that crock pot simmer, you put that meat in there, you pour a pinch of vinegar in there, let that meat, let that bones tenderize, guess what? The word will work. The word will work. Not that your Teflon dying and the word's going to bounce off. No, but the word's got to get inside. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But its delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his word doth he meditate. What? Day and night. Don't worry about how you feel. Next thing you know, man, the word will work. Somebody say the word will work. And then it'll expose you to the sin in your life. That's what the word began to do. And guess what? The woman at the well was exposed. She was exposed. She was exposed. Imagine if she had just continued that conversation and they just kept it on a religious level. That's what's going on in the church. We keep God on a religious level. It never drills down to the working out of our soul. She could have just kept on going. Jesus could have skipped the conversation by her husband's. He said, go get your husband. You know how it was a soft, it was a sore spot because she lied. I have no husband. He dug up the word. Listen. The word's got to dig up something in us and expose her to herself. Amen. Y'all know the rest. She gave up. She gave it up. Amen. And right then and there, she accepted Christ. And listen, I'm going to close on this. When she left her water pot, because now she was filled, she said, come meet a man. She didn't say, that just saved me. She didn't say that I think he's the Redeemer or the Savior. She said, the first thing she said was, he told me everything. She was talking about her sin for lifestyle. That was her joy. That was her shout. So when I talk about people running around the church going like this, it's the exposure of the word that ought to set you on fire. That's my greatest time. I know I went fast. I know I said a lot. But God is good. Let us give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. He's worthy. And if there's somebody here and you do not know this love of Jesus Christ, you can come right now and accept him into your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Jesus, he's knocking. He said, those who will come unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? As the choir sings. Is there one that would like to rededicate their life back to the Lord? You're not living right. You're not where you need to be. You can also come and rededicate your life. He says, I'm married to the backslider. Is there one for restoration? You can also come. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one?